Welcome to I Do, I Did, I'm Done, the podcast about life's challenges and how to handle them. I'm Randy Fincher. I'm a wife, mama, and a wedding planner.
And I'm Henry Fincher, and I'm a trial lawyer.
We're married.
Okay, so today we're deciding to bring AI, artificial intelligence, into the podcast. We asked AI, what are the key methods to communicate in a healthy marriage? And ChatGPT has some ideas, and Randy and I are going to share ChatGPT's idea and take turns saying whether we think it's a good idea or a crappy idea or what to do about it. So, Randy, what's the first one?
Listen actively.
Listen actively to your partner without interrupting or formulating your response. Show that you understand by paraphrasing what they've said. What a bunch of bullshit. I mean, you got to listen to your partner, but sit there and without interrupting. Okay, that's a good thought. That would be nice, but you're married and what are you? I mean, we're formulating your response. You're not going to think about what you're going to say. Now, okay, think about that a minute. Yes, you need to listen to your partner. That would be a great ideal. But this is marriage, y'all. I've had two of them now.
And oh, about your favorite one.
Definitely favorite marriage so far. 5 stars. I really like it.
We'll ride again.
No, it's really good. But active listening would probably kill me because of our conversational style.
See, I love this because I'm all for it, because that way I could actually know that you're listening by having to paraphrase.
You say so much. I would die. I can't do that. I mean, I just can't.
Never could do nothing, as Gary J. would say.
Look, I love you. But if one of the vows was I had to listen to every last damn thing you said, I couldn't have done that. I wouldn't have raised my hand. I said, we need to change that one back. I love you. But, you know, the difference in conversational styles are there. Now, if we're talking about something intense, something important, something meaningful about us or a relationship, well, that's different. Yes.
Then you'll paraphrase what I have to say then. Or selective memory.
It depends on if you're talking junk or not. So not everything every one of us says is going to be, the other one's not going to agree with. You don't agree with everything I say.
No, but I listen actively. I listen too much actively, because then I can paraphrase what you say and then use it against you, because I've married a lawyer and it sometimes works to my benefit.
Well, no, you tend to hear tones in the voice and say things that I never said.
I'm a communication major.
Well, you know. Maybe,
anyways.
So
Next one.
Express feelings. Yeah, don't do that, guys.
Share your emotions openly and honestly. Use I statements to communicate your feelings without placing blame. For example, I feel upset when, instead of, you always make me. I am a firm believer in this because, again, I'm loving this, by the way, but taking ownership in your emotion is something that I teach my children, because I think it's good to even use in your marriage, instead of being like, you know, you did this and it pissed me off. Say, you know, I feel really upset when, you know, you watched Queen of the South episode without me and it really hurt my feelings. You know, not that you've done that, because that's one thing I'm very thankful for in our marriage, that we've agreed to not, we have promised each other we're not going to skip on an episode, no matter how angry I get at you sometimes. I'm like, I promised him I'm not going to get ahead. So I think that's important, is because owning your emotion to me is important for you to understand how serious I am about something. Now, I know I'm a woman and I'm hormonal and I have a period. And as you say, you know, it's your time of the month. So I know to not talk to you about important matters that bother me. During that Aunt Flo's visit. But I think it's important to talk about how I truly feel about something, you know, like, for example, like, I want to be able to make more time to have a healthier, active lifestyle. And I want to find a solution on how we can do that, on how I can have more time to work out. Now, I don't know how we can solve that topic. You know, I go to Jordan Koontz 2 days a week when I can, you know, and she's amazing. You know, when I'm not sitting and hugging a toilet of vomiting and having diarrhea of having the, you know, food poison now that I'm, you know, back out of that. Between Ozempic, I, you know, lost too much weight. Now here we are. But I think it's important to take ownership in your emotion because it lets your spouse know how you truly feel about something, and having passion about how you feel and talking about what bothers you or what makes you happy is important to share. So I'm all about this ChatGPT so far.
Well, I think it's got a really good point there at the bottom. Said it's I feel upset when rather than you always make me, because it, anytime you say always, it's probably an overstatement. You know, it's you always do this or I always think that, and you know, humans tend to be inconsistent. It's too much, and it's. It does damage when you accuse your partner of always doing something. It's hard not to, but I think it's a great idea to, if you're expressing your feelings, you can talk about your feelings rather than the other person's actions. But if you're going to talk about the actions, you talk about them fairly. You know, you always do that. No, they don't. You know,
well, if it's one thing true. I've learned from being in therapy,
no one
is
always does anything.
It's a choice to have a certain emotion, and whether or not that's giving the other person power to have that emotion over you is something that, you know, sometimes I get frustrated or sometimes I get upset, and I'm like, you know what? It's water under the bridge. Am I even going to bring it up? Because, you know, it's something small that you've done that's pissed me off. Or, you know, if it's something good that you've done, I'm going to tell you so you'll do it again. Or thank you for doing it. But I think it's important to filter out your emotion and really figure out if the juice is worth the squeeze. Because half the stuff that upsets me, things that you do, for example, you are taking a shower.
I always do it.
You're taking a shower. And you
take a shower.
No, listen.
That bothers you?
No, I'm very thankful. Yeah. But when you take a shower, you don't pull the shower curtain to. You just leave it. You leave it like pushed back. And I like to go in. And,
heavens to Murgatroyd! How do you bear up under such a horrific strain?
I don't.
Fuck me, really?
Yeah, you should be thankful. That's one of my only complaints. But I think it's important. Like for me, I'm not going to pick that battle with you because this is what you're going to do. You're going to give me the bird and you're going to say,
we have towels. We can throw them down.
You know,
it will work.
No. I'm not talking about I'm talking about you use the shower curtain properly. You just don't pull it all the way to.
Oh my God.
Like you don't make it look like it's not been lived in. That's what I mean. Not that you're not using it. You're using it. You're just not fixing it, making it pretty when you get out. And
bless your heart. I don't know how you bear up under such stress.
But you know what?
Pain.
I fix it and
how
I go
do you deal
on.
With
but you
this?
Know what? I tell myself that, you know,
you
someday
are a saint.
He is not going to be here. Or maybe you might outlive me.
Just think about me being dead.
No,
because
I'm
of the
saying,
fucking shower
I'm
curtain.
Saying, you know, if you outlive me, I think to myself.
Oh,
I think about my mom, for example.
Yeah, thanks, ChatGPT.
No,
yeah.
Listen, for example, my mom, when my dad went through heart surgery and he was in the hospital that weekend, my dad was currently working on my mom and dad's boutique. And my dad would hammer the shit out of the back of the store. So one time I walked back there and he was just hammering. He wasn't hammering anything. And he says, this pisses your mom off. So I just do it sometimes. But I think about, you know, he was working. Yeah. We were remodeling.
Yeah.
But he had to stop because he had the Widowmaker and he had to have surgery the following weekend. But I think about that moment with you because my mom was like, I remember her crying on a Saturday. We were in the middle of prom season and she just started crying. It was when he was in the hospital. I said, Mom, what's wrong? She goes, he's not back there hammering the hammer and I miss the sound of the hammer. And I'm like, oh, okay. I'm so sorry. You know, I'm like, it's nice to not hear the hammer while we're trying to wait on a customer, you know, but I understand what she's coming from now. You know, she had a little quirk and, you know, I have mine. Just pull the shower curtain too all the way when you get out, make it look nice and pretty. Some mildew doesn't form on the shower curtain liner, which is fine, but you know, I'm happy to do it for you. You can tell I'm really passionate about that subject. So we can move on.
I don't know
to the next
how
one.
You carry on through such a burden. Really.
Well, which goes into a wonderful topic of how you can practice empathy.
Practice empathy. Put yourself in your partner's shoes and try to give a shit about a shower curtain. No, it's not that good. But then that, try to understand their perspective, even if you don't agree. Empathy fosters deeper connection and understanding. I should probably work on my empathy. I'm Gen X. We don't have any
You know
empathy.
What you said to me? Literally, we had an argument last week.
You know, fuck you.
Get over this shit. Just fuck you, Randy. What do you want to go eat? Are you hungry? And I'm just like, it might be a Beth Dutton from watching Yellowstone.
She
tells
Rip, Gen X too.
Fuck you, but I love you. And I'm just like,
well,
what?
not everything. Yeah, not everybody's going to agree with what your issues are. And practice empathy. I have a limited amount of empathy, particularly when I get home from work.
Because
I have people who they're losing their homes. They could be going to jail. They're worried about losing their families. They're losing everything that they got. And coming home.
Choose your words. Cautiously.
Well, seriously, coming home, there's a range of issues that we have to deal with. And having empathy for relatively minor problems can be hard to come by. Plus, again, Gen X, man, y'all, we don't give a shit. We grew up and we did fine and we drank out of the hose and we rode our bikes and there was no helicopter. If the only helicopter parenting that happened was if somebody's dad was a Vietnam vet and they had a helicopter. I mean, there was no helicopter parenting. We were told to leave the house about 9 o'clock and come back at sundown for dinner. And that was the expectation. And we grew up fine. But we also learned to get by and deal with our own boo-boos and our own scrapes and our own problems a little bit. And so empathy's hard to come by just generationally.
I would say something, so, you know, thank you for explaining your generation.
Doesn't mean I don't care about
things
that matter. I understand
that you do care, but I do think that's something for our marriage, you know, you could definitely work on. Because,
oh, good. Tell me what I need to work on. I have empathy for that.
You have empathy for
that.
I just think it would be, you know, I think millennials started the way of therapy, and Gen Zs, it's cool to be in therapy and have
problems. The beat of your music that drove you all insane. That's what happened.
No, you need to leave my early 2000s Ashanti and Ellie alone. But I think putting yourself in other shoes is very important.
It really is. It is.
But I think by the time you come home, you're like, I'm going to go over here and poop and read this book and leave me alone. I'll be here for 30 minutes. I'm like,
well, I give more than that to my family.
Of course you do. I'm not saying you don't, but I mean, that's, you know,
a little bit of
the other day I was
like,
where did he go? And then they're like, I'm in the bathroom and I'm reading a book. Can you leave me alone? And I'm like, okay. You know, and then you come back out and then you're much better. I try to
reset. A little reset really is nice.
Yeah. I try to put myself in your shoes and, you know, I know how busy you are. So sometimes I try not to bring up a certain topic or certain things that I know that don't need to be discussed at that moment because it's not going to happen, or because you're too tired and you're worn out from the day's work, and what my problems are, you know, nothing compared to the people that you've had to deal with. So I've tried to do a lot better, you know.
You're doing better
in that department. But this is my other favorite thing. I'm telling you, I love this. Use nonverbal cues. Pay attention to your body language and your facial expressions. They can convey as much, if not more, than words. Maintain eye contact and open body language. Let's hear your take on this.
Well, they say 80% of communication is nonverbal. And I believe that. And
what is it? Ursula says body language, you know, in the aerial. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Okay. Body language.
Anyways. Yeah. Body
language.
Anyway,
80% of I suppose so. 80% of communication is nonverbal. And so it does matter if you're physically closed off, your arms are crossed and your head's down and your eyes are looking down. If you feel physically that way, you're probably also mentally that way. And being closed off from what your partner's saying, that is a problem, right? To communicate, you have to be there and be present to hear what your partner's saying. And being open and using open body language, I think, helps. One follows the other. If you find yourself clenched up and tensed up and crossing your arms and physically turning away, well, stop that shit. You know, stop. Think about it.
Stop
think
that of, shit. Stop he that says. Shit.
Stay, seriously, stop. Because you can. Because if your arms are clenched, you can unclench them. If your head is turned away, you can turn your head back. If your hands are clenched, unclench them. I mean, it's like, now I'm not talking about something where, you know, you're trying to avoid losing your temper and saying something harmful. An extreme situation like that, exiting the situation is definitely preferable. But I'm talking about highly escalated, really bad, you know, emotional things. Because you got to remember, I represent people that their spouses or them have been accused of losing their cool and hitting each other. You know, if you're in that situation, yeah, turning your back and walking away is much better than the alternative. But if you're just upset that something's been said you don't like, you know.
You can tell them that they're number one.
There, shoot them a bird. So, yeah, that is
the adult thing to do.
That's nonverbal communication that certainly conveys a message.
Sometimes I know I've done that to you, and I've just not said anything, and I'm just like, you know what? I'm just going to walk away, and then I'll come back, and then I'm like, hey, what do you want for dinner? And you're like, I don't know. What do you want for dinner?
Sometimes that's just the way to do it. One thing I don't see on this list, because I haven't read through it all yet, but it is agree to disagree. You don't have to be in complete lockstep on every little thing. I like chicken wings. You don't.
I like Guess chicken what? Wings. I just don't want to have to go to Buffalo Wild Wings with all the noise. No, I like chicken wings. I need them boneless, though. Not with the.
That's not a chicken wing. That's just a chicken tender.
Oh.
So, yeah. But, I mean, they call them the boneless chicken wings, so it's Never not on mind. The kiddie menu. But anyway, that's my.
Well, personal. I want just all white okay. meat. I don't want brown Even though you're meat. Wrong it tells you about that's chicken like Jessica wings, Simpson moment. Okay. Where, is it fish it, or is it chicken?
Well, you know.
Anywho, but I'm no, tired. But okay.
I can hardly tell that you're tired and hungry, my love. I had no idea. But avoid. Why don't you tell us about avoiding defensiveness? Talk about that.
Avoiding defensiveness. Yeah. When conflict arises, resist the urge to be defensive. Instead, listen to your partner's concerns and try to find common ground for resolution. I do not like this one.
I know, automatically because it requires you always to own get defensive.
Well,
good.
I think when you've been browbeaten to death, you know, in a past relationships, you know, with dating and, you know, and in my case, you know, with what I've been through, doing through a divorce, you can't help but get defensive because you feel like you have to explain for everything that you've gone through. Like, for example, I remember it was something so simple. You were like, hey, what is this? It was, goodness, what was it that I bought? It was something that I bought. Oh, I know what it was. It was a blow dryer. I said, hey, I'm going to have to buy this new blow dryer. You know, my hair is like super long. It takes forever to blow dry. And I was like, hey, I really need to buy this. It's going to be a little bit expensive. And you're like, yeah, that's fine if that's what you need to get, you know. And I remember being like, well, I felt like I had to sell you on the blow dryer. And you're like, Randy, I don't give a shit. It's a blow dryer. If you need it for you and the girls, yeah, I know your blow dryers go out all the time. Yeah, that's fine. Go get a blow dryer. But in that moment, I was like, wow. I don't have to sell my husband on why I need a blow dryer. He doesn't care. I'm going to go get it. It'll last me. It's a lifetime warranty. And I got it. And it works great, you know? But I just think when you've been dealt difficult cards, you feel like you have to get defensive because you've been in a situation that's not healthy and you have to defend how you feel or what you think is the right thing to do when in reality, probably that person's not for you, you know?
So ChatGPT says, when conflicts arise, resist the urge to be defensive. And you say, bullshit, be defensive.
No, I'm saying, no.
I'm not understanding.
I'm not saying be defensive. I'm giving the reason why I have been defensive.
Oh, okay. You're defending your defensiveness.
Yes, I'm saying.
Okay, so you're being defensive about your defensiveness.
Yes, I'm saying that the reason I have been this way is because of the shit that I've had on me from past relationships.
You're the one saying you're defensive. I didn't. I just
No, I am. I know way. I'm defensive. I'm trying to work on that.
ChatGPT would say, instead, listen to your partner's concerns and try to find common ground for resolution.
I don't like common ground all the time. But yeah, you know,
just won't get your way. So I do too, but that's why they're recommending it to find some common ground for resolution.
You know, okay, next one.
Oh, why don't we make this one the last one? Because it's a good one. Set aside time for communication. Dedicate regular uninterrupted time to talk about important topics or simply to check in with each other. This could be a daily check-in or weekly meeting to discuss household matters or relationship concerns. That's a great idea. It can be impractical, but, you know, like for us, we go to lunch just about every day. We're able to do that. And it's sometimes we talk about things that matter. Sometimes we just eat. Think that's a good idea, don't you?
I mean, it's nice to eat lunch with you, and I enjoy that, and I think it's great. For me, personally, I would like to have, like, full-blown meetings. I grew up with, like, full-blown meetings, having meetings with my family and talking about things like that. You know, because sometimes at lunch we try to, yeah, we do talk about a lot of stuff at lunch, but sometimes I think it's good to have a reset as well, and it, you know, not necessarily be always at lunch we talk about issues, because sometimes that's when we just want to enjoy each other's company and enjoy lunch. But I do know that that's for us, that has been our time, but I would like to do better and it not be our time that we talk about our weekly meetings or check-ins, where we can probably try to enjoy lunch a little bit more and not have to talk about all the bullshit that we have to deal with, when in reality the bullshit needs to be discussed. But then by the time that I would like to talk about it, maybe later in the day, we're, you know, watching Spider-Man and Friends and changing diapers, you know.
Yeah,
but I
think
it's important to get it in when you can, you know, and I think that's what we do. But I mean, in all honesty,
who does that? A weekly meeting?
Well, I can tell you that.
I mean, who does
Gary
that?
Jay and Cindy do. It was something
they've
that
made it 40 years. Good,
you know,
for
that, yeah. That they, that we did together as a family. But yeah. I think, you know, like for our family, it's different. You know, we're just too busy. And I think having the time at lunch has been good for us.
Good. I think that's a good one to go out on. We've been here for 20 minutes. We hope you've enjoyed it. Tell us your thoughts about what's the key to a good relationship and openness.
Don't forget sex.
I still think Randy's formula is the best. What is that formula again, Randy?
Feed me, fuck me, and tell me I'm pretty.
There you go. But hey, setting aside time for communication is good. ChatGPT just hasn't listened to the podcast yet. We need to fix that. If you liked what you heard, please rate us high. Give us a 5-star. Give us a review on Spotify, on Apple. Subscribe. Follow us on Instagram. You can go to our website. Randy, what's that website?
I'm done podcast.com.
Hey, it's great. And if you didn't like what you heard, don't tell nobody nothing.